I'm Dr. Linda, and this is The Psychology Behind. Now, today I thought we'd speak about feeders, people that kind of sabotage your health goals. And I thought it would be really interesting to look at how our relationship with food is further complicated by the people that we have around us, which is precisely what I want to speak about today. So we all know that attempting a healthier lifestyle change is a really important thing, right? And we know that making the decision isn't easy, and sticking to it means that you need to make sure that you're aware of, like, the barriers to success and that you're aware of how to overcome them. And I think that's what I want to focus on today, because one of the trickiest barriers standing between you and your health goals could actually be the people around you, your friends and your family, who either don't share your view of health for their own reasons, or they see your decision to change as a threat to the place they hold in relation to you. The fact that the company we keep can affect our behavior is really well established, right? Research has actually found that typically we eat 30% more calories when we're around other people than we do when we're eating alone, and that women are more likely to be influenced by the diet patterns of co-workers than men. So it's kind of important to think about our behavior in the situation that we're at, because the situation can really influence the decisions we make around our health. And, you know, it may be that you just have this really sweet work colleague who's always bringing in home-baked cakes into the office and feels it, you know, offended when you say no. Or it may be your boyfriend that makes fun of you when you order a salad when you go out and he's sort of digging into a burger and a side of fries. Or it might even be just a lovely, nurturing parent for whom food was always a symbol of love that piles your plate so high you can't see over the top of your potatoes. We all know a feeder when we see one. The trick is knowing how to get them on your side. And what I mean by that is getting them to understand why you're embarking on this healthy lifestyle, why, for whatever reason, you've chosen to change the way you eat. I think it's also important to ensure that they don't get in your way of becoming healthier. I think for a lot of people, it's seen as a change that they might feel uncomfortable with, because if I'm not the person that's feeding you, then who am I? If I'm not the person that, you know, you go out on a Friday night with and we have a greasy fry up in the morning, then I don't like that. Or perhaps more insidiously, if you get healthy and I don't, then that makes me feel less sad. So maybe I want to get in, you know, your way for that reason. Whatever the reason is, I think there are ways that you can get around it. And I want to go through things that you can do specifically to address it if this is what you're going through right now. Firstly, it's important not to buy into somebody else's guilt. For some people, getting others to eat makes them feel less guilty about indulging themselves. So if you're offered something that you don't want, just explain that you aren't hungry, that they should go ahead if they want to. But be firm, right? Don't feel that you have to, you know, apologize for not wanting it. If they feel guilty, that's their issue. And I think it's important you don't feel you need to take it on. Secondly, get your partner involved. As with any health behavior change, you are much more likely to succeed if the people around you are engaged with it as well. We know that. We know that when it comes to working out. We know that when it comes to quitting smoking. And we certainly know that when it comes to healthy eating. So sit down with your partner and explain to them the reasons for your decision to eat more healthily. Really think about these decisions, because it's not just about how we look, which so many times, you know, that's all that's spoken about. It actually really gets on my nerves, because having, you know, a healthy eating lifestyle makes it much more likely that you'll feel better. You know, you'll sleep better, you'll move better. So think about the benefits and invite your partner to join you. And if they don't want to, if they can't see the benefit for them, explain how important their support is to you. So you need to be clear about what you mean by support here as well. It doesn't just mean that, you know, he or she says, yeah, fine, go ahead, do your thing. It indicates that you want them to make things easier for you, or at least less difficult. So be prescriptive. For example, if you find it easier to eat earlier, maybe you all decide to eat earlier on certain nights. Or if you find it easier to not have certain foods in the house or at least around you, then say that. But the point is, the more prescriptive you are about what you need from your partner, the better. Thirdly, tell people close to you why it's important. We very much live in a society where we use food to connect with people, to celebrate, to commiserate, and even to show love. We feed our kids and the people we love, so rejecting someone's offer of food is often seen as rejecting an offer of care, of love, or nurturing. It's important, therefore, that you explain to those people that are in your life that love you that you are choosing to value yourself through being healthier. It's not about rejecting them. It's about choosing something positive for you that will then be good for them as well. Through eating foods that are good for you and being more thoughtful about what it is you put in your body, you're actually taking a positive step, not just for you, but for the whole family. And getting them to understand that it isn't about denying yourself, but rather about what you have to gain. It's really important as well, because if you can reframe it and turn it into something positive like that, it's much more likely that they'll understand and support you. Fourthly, remember that we tend to eat what we can see. So if a feeder, whether you're at home or at work, offers cakes and biscuits, make sure your healthy snacks are things that you can actually see, that, you know, they're on view on your desk or in your kitchen. The more likely you are to see something healthy, the more likely you are to make that decision to eat something healthy. Also, really think about whether you want what you're being offered. Don't just eat something because it's been offered to you. It's really okay to say no. You're not rejecting a person. You're just rejecting a snack. And it's important that you develop a healthy sense of entitlement over keeping yourself healthy. And finally, number five. It's important to remember that sometimes feeders themselves are harboring an unhealthy relationship with food. Now, it's interesting because people assume that if someone has an eating disorder, that they aren't interested in food at all. But sometimes the opposite is true. People with eating disorders get a great sense of pleasure by seeing others eat. In a way, it kind of reinforces their own sense of control over food. They feel a sense of accomplishment if, for example, you eat something and they avoid the calories. This is particularly relevant in friendship groups amongst young people, where one person has an eating disorder, so feels that they should constantly feed others. If you feel this is the case, if this rings a bell, then it's important that you don't feel forced to eat something, but it's also important that you're able to reflect on this with your friend, to kind of hold a mirror to the fact that they're constantly talking about food, but it's not something that they're eating themselves. So maybe it's something that they need to look at as much as you need to look at. So on that note, I hope we've gone through sort of the basics of what it means to be a feeder, what it means to relate to them, and hopefully you now feel more equipped to address the issue if it's something that you're dealing with. I really hope you enjoyed this podcast. The Psychology Behind was produced in conjunction with Audio Boom. As always, rate, review, subscribe. We always love to hear from you. And of course, please make sure to subscribe to the series on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts so you don't miss out on new episodes. Until next week, I hope you stay well and look forward to speaking soon. Bye for now.